You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, rocking and rolling here on a Tuesday morning. Sal Capaccio with you. I am live at Niagara Falls Country Club. Today is the media day for the Porter Cup. And the Porter Cup is an amazing event that's held every year here in Western New York, up here in Niagara Falls at Niagara Falls Country Club. And it is the top amateur, you know, event, arguably the top amateur event in the country when it comes to golf, which is pretty amazing. So it's a good day to come out here, and there'll be a press conference out here highlighting the players in this year's event. And then a bunch of us in the media get to go out and play the course. So, you know, we take advantage of that. But, man, it is cool to learn the history of it. We're going to have Marty Schimmel on in a little while when he gets a moment to kind of fill us in a little bit more. Brian Colzio is going to join me in the next hour. We'll talk with him as well. He's been up here covering this event for many years and playing up here. It's great. And, I mean, right now they put me in a room where I am overlooking Niagara on the Lake, I believe. And then if you really, on a good day, and I think I'm trying to see if I can see it today. I think I can a little bit. You can see Toronto. I can actually see Toronto from this hillside where we're on. And when you come up the mountain road there off the 190 and you're getting up into Lewiston, you see Niagara Falls Country Club on your right-hand side. That's like a really high space. And then you overlook, like I said, Niagara on the Lake. You see the river, and then you can see Toronto on a clear day. And I can see it right now. Actually, there it is. I see it. I was there yesterday. And I even see Rogers Center. You know what? And that's where my Yankees took one on the chin last week, for sure. Rogers Center. And now the Blue Jays are in first place. We're going to talk with Sal Marinaccio at 10:30, our weekly visit with Sal Marinaccio. Talk a little bit of Yankees, a little bit of baseball. It's that time of year. You got the All-Star game coming up. And, of course, the Porter Cup. So we'll get to that in just a moment. This is my, I think, last Extra Point show for a little while, because tomorrow is Italy Travel Day. So I will be heading out to Italy tomorrow. You know, hey, if you didn't jump on board, maybe, you know, next time there's something going on like that, you'll want to do it, and you should, because this is the trip that we've been publicizing here on WGR about 6 months ago. You kept hearing go to Italy with Sal Capaccio, and then heard me do some, you know, reads for it and things like that, and all the different places we're going, starting out in Rome, Perugia, Florence, which I've never been to. I've been to Italy a few times, Tuscany, Umbria, Venice, and then an overnight stay in Lake Como. And that's going to be amazing. And we have lots of people listening right now who are joining us and going. Got to meet a bunch of those people last week at a little pre-trip event that we were in a conference room and at Odyssey, and said, hey, let's kind of talk about the itinerary, what you need, what you don't need, go around the table, and got to meet some fabulous people. And I'll be spending more time with these people, but we're all going to be going over there together. And then in each city, there's all different things that are set up, and we have time on our own. And there's times where there's a, hey, we're as a group, you know, they got us booked here to go to see something cool, like the Vatican, obviously. I've never been to the Vatican, so I get a chance to do that coming up this week. It's actually going to happen, I think, on Thursday this week. Also going to go to the Colosseum. That'll be great. And I've never been, like I said, to Florence, Lake Como. Heard it's amazing. But anyway, then when I get back, I'll have, it'll be about a week and a half. And then it'll be 2 days of me talking to you before training camp begins. And then Bill's training camp begins on Wednesday, July 23rd, over and up at St. John Fisher University in Rochester. And it is coming fast, folks. It is coming absolutely fast, training camp. So I'll be on here. So today's my last day for a while, going to Italy. And then you'll hear me for a couple of days before training camp. And then you'll hear me at training camp and joining the guys. And we're going to have coverage for you, of course, all training camp long. And it's going to be great here on WGR Sports Radio 550. So make sure you're dialed in for all of that. I know the guys this morning, Jeremy and Joe, were talking a little about the James Cook situation and what's that going to look like. Speaking of Toronto, I'm looking out and I'm watching Toronto now. I got a chance yesterday to play golf at Oakdale Country Club, which is where the Canadian Open has been held many times. Remember when Nick Taylor, I believe his name is, the Canadian who hit the 64, 67-foot putt a couple years ago? And as I referenced here in the show before, Zach Hyman, who plays for the Edmonton Oilers, is actually from Toronto. He's a really big Bills fan. So over the years, I've just kind of run in the same circles with some people. I've gotten to know Zach and his family, and they've invited me up to play in his charity golf event. And went up again this year. That was yesterday. That's why I wasn't on yesterday. It was amazing. Went up to Oakdale and played there. Anyway, it was really cool. Elliot Friedman actually is there, and he runs a panel. You know, Elliot Friedman, who's, you know, the insider, TSN, and NHL Network, and, you know, he does a lot of different things. He's like kind of the Adam Schefter of the NHL. And Elliot actually was running a panel where they would bring people up on stage who are in the media who are part of this event. And there were several people from TSN who were there, and myself and a couple others. I got to play with Carlo Colaiacovo yesterday, former Sabre, and got to play with Jay McKee. Jay McKee, former Sabre, obviously, head coach now of the Brantford Bulldogs. The team, the Brantford Bulldogs, is owned by Zach Hyman and his families, and Jay McKee is their head coach right now. And Jay is obviously still dialed into Western New York, lives here in Western New York, has kids here in Western, live here in Western New York. So, you know, we had a good time talking. But what's really amazing is when you get to an event like this is how many people come up to me and say, hey, what about the Bills this year? What about the Bills this year? And there's just so many Bills fans who want to talk Bills football, who are ready for the season. And you get them, and you know, you can go anywhere. I'm going to be going to Italy this week, as I said, and I'm going to be seeing like people there. Oh my God, the Bills, they'll be asking about them. I mean, there's Bills backers places in Italy. I've been to one. I went to one in Milan. I've been communicating with a couple of the people who are at Bills backers in Italy now. Like, hey, where are you going to be? When are you going to be there? So you go up to Toronto and you're there with all these hockey players. Yes, Connor McDavid did show up yesterday. He was only there for a little while. And then, you know, he had to leave, but he was there for a little while. But a lot of people, they come up and, you know, they're there, they're in Toronto, they live there, and these hockey players. So Zach is a big Bills fan. And then Connor Brown, who I believe just signed with the New Jersey Devils, he told me he's a Bills fan. I had no idea. Like there's so many of these guys, but hey, that's what happens when you grow up in Southern Ontario. But I guess the point I'm making is how many people really are dialed in and want to know about the Bills and what's going on. And I know Jeremy and Joe were talking a little bit this morning about the James Cook situation. And really, that was the number one question that I kept getting. Hey, what's going to happen with Cook? Is he showing up? Folks, what I can tell you is if James Cook doesn't show up to training camp, he's going to be fined a lot of money. So I'm pretty sure that, you know, he, as he said, I like my money, which is why he came to mandatory minicamp. I don't think he wants that to happen. I think the question from my end from James Cook is when he gets to training camp, what does that look like? Meaning, you know, does he actually do everything? Does he participate in all the drills? Is it a hold in situation? I don't think it's a hold out, but you never know. Maybe we get there on July 23rd, the first practice, and there's no James Cook on the field. That could happen. We don't know. That's kind of the mystery of what's happening. It's kind of really the only big storyline, if you will, heading into Bills training camp, other than a couple position battles and, you know, what's going on with the team overall, big picture, and where they are right now in their timeline of things. But when we get to training camp, July 23rd, is James Cook going to be there? And I think he will be. But we'll see. Maybe he decides that's not what he wants to do. He wants to make a statement. And let's remember, that Hard Knocks is going to be there. So Hard Knocks is going to be there. And if James Cook wants to make a statement, this could go one of two ways, right? This could go the way of, okay, Hard Knocks is there and he's showing everybody what he wants and he's playing hardball with him and his agent. And, you know, it becomes a big storyline from the standpoint of, okay, yeah, he's really making a statement and go James Cook. And you're going to have people who think that way. You could also have the other way, which is people saying, wait a minute, like Hard Knocks is there. You're watching it from afar. And it's not a good look for him that he either, you know, whatever, doesn't show up. That wouldn't be a really big story. But what if he's a hold in? And he doesn't practice, then it becomes, you know, a much different story. I think I guess the way I would say it is it's a much bigger story this year if that happens than pretty much any other year because Hard Knocks is there. That's the way I look at it. Because Hard Knocks is there, it is a story that becomes more national for people. And normally it would be basically, okay, because Hard Knocks, you know, isn't there, because the Bills aren't going to be, you know, Hard Knocks all the time, it's just more of a local story. Speaking of local, today we are here at the Porter Cup at Niagara Falls Country Club, and it's going to be a fantastic event. It runs starting 8 days from now, July 16th through 19th, and I am sitting here at a very nice room. It's a great space up here, and Marty Schimmel is going to be joining me here, and Marty's been a part of this executive committee for a long time, and I appreciate you joining me to tell us everybody a little bit more about the Porter Cup and what we expect this year. What is your official title these days over here?
The official title is Tournament Director, Sal.
All right, Tournament Director. So you are the guy who kind of knows all the ins and outs about this. So before we get to this year, can you just give a brief history about the Porter Cup and why it's here? This great amateur event that so many incredible amateurs have played in that are now professionals, that have won majors, some of the best golfers in the world. They've come right here to Niagara Falls Country Club. How did this all happen?
Well, this is our 66th event for the men and 12 for the women, but it happened back in 1959. Alex Porter was a local person, official in the area, decided to get it. Back at that time, it was mostly a local event. Ward Wetlaufer and John Konsek. Ward Wetlaufer won, I think, the second one. He represented the CCB, Country Club of Buffalo. And as we progressed, we started expanding, and getting out a little more regionally than nationally to build what get to where it came today, when we've had 68 major winners have appeared here at the Porter Cup, 92 or 93 PGA stars, PGA / Live, have appeared here at the Porter Cup, and I believe 11 or 12 LPGA or Epsom Cup on the women's side have appeared here. So we've had a very, very rich history here at Niagara Falls Country Club.
And obviously, it's just kind of grown over the years, some of the names that have come through here. Give people a sense of some of these names that you've seen come through here over those years.
I think everybody knows Tiger was here, had his hole-in-one on number 12 back in 94. We've had Phil Mickelson was here. We've had Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, a literal who's who of the PGA Tour. Denny McCarthy, this is the 10-year anniversary of Denny McCarthy's win. He's doing pretty well on the PGA Tour. Billy Horschel was here three times. I want to mention, we can't mention Porter Cup history without talking about arguably one of the best amateur golfers ever, Jay Siegel. Jay Siegel won the Porter Cup three times. And you'll be at media today. We're going to have a nice feature on him in our program. He won the Porter Cup three times. He's considered, other than Bobby Jones, probably the best amateur golfer in history. And he played here several times. He won it three times, only person to win it three times. So we're going to kind of honor him a little bit this year with in our program because this year is the 50th anniversary of his first Porter Cup win. So
you say – here's a player that played three times. Eventually, these guys go on and they go on to the PGA Tour. So what qualifies you to be at this tournament, and then how do you kind of progress and say, okay, you're no longer a part of this tournament?
Well, it's an invitational. So a guy like Jay Siegel remained an amateur his whole career. So right toward the end of his, when he turned over 50, I believe he went on the senior tour a little bit. But he did quite well in the insurance business, I believe it was. So he was a lifetime amateur. He loved coming back here. But when we invite, there's several criteria. We certainly reach out to coaches. We keep an eye. This has become, Sal, a 12-month job. We're checking out tournaments. We're checking out college events and talking with college coaches. We look at world golf rankings. And you know what? We also look at the individual. I mean, if we like, you know, good kids to come here, you know. So there's a variety of things we do to judge, you know, who comes back and who doesn't.
Marty Schimmel, director of the Porter Cup, tournament director, joining me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you in Niagara Falls Country Club. It's going to be absolutely beautiful today, hopefully beautiful next week. Looks like we have good weather on hand, and obviously people coming from all over the world, not just the country, to participate in this event.
We've got nine countries represented this year.
Wow.
So that's kind of cool. We've got nine countries. We've got five brother-sister combinations. Sister will be playing in the women's, brother will be playing in the men's. So that's kind of a unique aspect of our tournament. And Saturday, we're doing something for the first time. We're going to have a open qualifier for members only, and we're going to take the top finisher, and he'll have the last spot in the tournament. So, which is kind of a cool thing,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool deal. You said it's a 12-month a year job. What I'm always impressed with, and every year you guys, you know, have us up here for the media to talk about it, and really blows my mind the community support that goes into this. It's not just the members here. It's not just the people here. It's Niagara Falls community. It's the people who live around here. You know, when Oak Hill hosted the PGA a couple of years ago, and you saw a lot of those players came in, they would live with people in their houses and their families. It's no different here. That's what everybody has to do, right?
We do the same thing. Special thanks to our members, our volunteers, our Board of Governors, our members who opened, some of which opened their homes. Dina and Jack Armstrong have been housing forever, and they usually take two or three. You know, whenever there's a late, you know, we kind of take advantage of it. It's always if we got to squeeze somebody in. Well, Dina will take them. But they've been housing for a long time, and you develop long term relationships with these guys, and that as they go out on the tour and what have you. So there's a lot of nice stories about some of the players that housed here over the years.
And then, of course, even though it's worldwide, you always have some local connections here at the Porter Cup. Is this year no different?
This year's no different. We're going to have a local contingent on the ladies' side. We've got, locally for the ladies, we've got Rosalie D'Annunzio, formerly of Clarence, Indiana State University, Gwen Yarnell of East Aurora, Victoria Leach from Clarence, first-time Natalie Wasick out of Lockport. She plays out of Park. She plays out of Lockport, but she practices at Park. She'll be here on the ladies' side, and on our men's side, we have our club champ, Rocco Randazzo, who will be participating. And we invited the winner and the runner-up of the Junior Masters, Tanner Latour, who's not local, but Jack Thibault will be here. He finished second. And Billy Haynes is coming back, so we certainly look forward to having Billy here. He's just a great representative of our tournament. So.
And then not just local, but tell us a little bit more about this year's field, what you can fill us in on. People come out here and, you know, who they're going to see, what they're going to see.
Well, what they're going to see is they're going to see probably, arguably, one of the best local players ever to come out of Western New York, because Anthony DeLisanti has committed to playing this year. So you heard it first on Extra Point.
All right, there we go. I love it. Anthony DeLisanti, tell us a little bit about him.
Anthony is really an outstanding young man. Not only is he an outstanding golfer, he's an outstanding young man. He reached out a while ago. His schedule, early June. His schedule is a little different this year. He has withdrawn from another event, and he's playing to play in ours. And he's also playing in a Korn Ferry event the following week. So he's looking towards Q School and PGA tournament career. And it's going to be great to have him out here one last time. A lot of local people will get to see Anthony again coming out here.
All right, so people listening right now, they're like, hey, this is a cool event. I'm looking for something to do with me and my family. It's the middle of summer. Well, how do you take advantage of that? How do you come out here? Tickets? How does all that work?
Well, there's no admission, so that's nice. There's no admission, so come on out. We're going to be going out every tee times will be around 7:30 Wednesday through Friday, unless a change. We'll get a change out there. If we did get a change out there, we might go earlier one day in the event of weather or something, but the admission's free. It's a really nice way to spend the day. There's concessions out here. There's food and, get to walk the really nice golf course and see some really, really good amateur golfers.
Absolutely. Tell everybody where this is, where you're coming from. I was just giving the landscape view of overlooking Niagara on the lake, which is amazing. And I do see Toronto over there, which is incredible from this spot.
That's one of the nicest things here. This has got to be one of the best views in Western New York. You know, on a very clear day, you can actually tell if the Sky Dome is open or closed. So, we're right here, right on, right as you get off the thruway. You're about a half a mile away, and you'll make a left, and you'll see the golf course, and there'll be signs up directing people in. But we're here, we're excited, and looking forward to a big local contingent Wednesday through Saturday.
And then real quickly, online, PorterCup.com, right? PorterCup.com is where they go?
PorterCup.com for all tee times and information.
Marty Schimmel, thank you so much. Always appreciate your hospitality and graciousness to not only have us up here for the media, but to join me as well.
And go easy on those tee to green guys out here today on the golf course today.
We'll try. I'm playing with Brian. I'm telling you, Brian is an incredible amateur golfer, right? I mean, I always tell the story. I've never played with Brian Colzio when he has shot over 80. He says, Sal, you're my good luck charm. I've definitely shot over 80. I'm like, you've never done it next to me. So he makes me feel so, you know, so bad. And I'm not a great golfer anyway, but playing with him, it is a little different. You watch some of these people when they hit the ball. I was up yesterday, like I said, playing in the Zach Hyman charity event. And some of these hockey players that you watch, these professional hockey players, and they just bomb the ball down there.
Well, speaking of hockey, we've got coming back is current NHL referee Garrett Rank is coming back. Garrett's a little older. He still kept a really good amateur ranking, and I think he wants to see how he can mix it up with some of these young kids. But he's currently NHL ref, and he's back after, I think, a two-year hiatus. Okay. So looking forward to welcoming him back as well.
Marty, thank you once again. Really appreciate it. You got it. That is Marty Schimmel. He is the director of the Porter Cup. And you can, again, go online. PorterCup.com is the place. You can find everything about the history, the men's, the women's, everything that's happening July 16th through 19th next week. Again, as Marty said, no admission. Come on up. You're going to see some of the fabulous golfers, some of the best amateur golfers in the world right here at the Porter Cup at Niagara Falls Country Club. I mean, some of the names that have been around. Check this out. Ricky Fowler, Wyndham Clark, Tiger Woods, as he said. Brooks Koepka, Phil Mickelson, Max Homa. I mean, come on. Think about some of these guys, Justin Thomas, who've all been over here. And some of the best amateur women in the world as well, right here at the Porter Cup. Hey, if you want to jump on board here, you want to talk about anything dealing with what's going on with training camp, with the Bills coming up, and of course, we still have the Bo Byram situation as well. 803-0550. I tell you, this morning, I got a... So I have my... I have my my alerts. Like when I get a text, whether it's from my wife or a friend or anybody out there, right? It's just it's the same alert that I get all the time. But if I get an alert from the Bills or Sabres, like a PR alert, I have it set to a different sound. That way, if I'm in another room or something and my phone goes off and I'm like, wait a minute, that's a Bills or Sabres. Bam, I got to go over there and check it out. I got that this morning. I'm like, oh, there's a Bills or Sabres. Something's going on. And I'm thinking, did they trade Bo Byram? No, it's actually for a Alex Lyon conference call, which is fine. Alex Lyon is going to be talking to the media, a Zoom call today, later today. So, you know, that'll be happening later today. Alex Lyon, the goaltender that the Sabres had signed. And but I thought for a minute there when I heard that, I'm like, oh, my gosh, did something happen with Bo Byram? Was not the case. 803-0550. Maybe it is the case today. Who knows? It was July 5th of last year. When the Sabres traded for Ryan McLeod, Matthew Savoy for Ryan McLeod, it's been announced and it's been reported the Sabres are going to arbitration with Bo Byram, which basically makes he disqualifies him from getting an offer sheet from another team. What does that mean? Does it mean that the Sabres are just guarding against not getting an offer sheet because they want to trade him, because they can still trade him, but going to arbitration is what's going to happen there. All right. A little bit of baseball talk as well, because we always get with our buddy Sal Marano once a week here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. A couple of Sals coming your way. And man, I know he is not feeling good about his Yankees. Neither am I. I am actually overlooking, and I can see, as Marty said, you could see when Skydome/Rogers Center is open or closed. I can't tell if it's open or closed right now, but I can see it over there. And that's where the first place Blue Jays reside. And they are just taking it to everybody they play, not just the Yankees. We're going to get with Sal Marano. We've got Brian Colzio coming up next hour. You never know who's going to drop in. A lot of media will be hanging out here today at the Porter Cup Media Day. So we'll be talking everything that's on your mind today at 803-0550. That's getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. In the meantime, Sal Marano from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
So up 3-1, a leadoff double here in the sixth, and here's Addison Barcher over two. And Barcher hits a fly ball to deep right field, and this one is gone. Their third home run of the game. Number 12 on the season for Addison Barcher. It is 5-1.
Yeah, have you been following the Blue Jays at all? This is a pretty redundant sound, because they are just smashing the ball and mashing the ball. And it didn't really start with the Yankees series, but it really was a part of it. The Yankees series, they swept the Yankees. They take over first place. The Yanks are staring up at them right now. And right now, the Blue Jays are kind of the talk of baseball. They're in Chicago now. They're taking on the White Sox in a series there. They've won, what, 9 in a row? And joining me right now on the West Her Hotline to talk about the Yankees, the Blue Jays, and baseball as we do every week is my buddy Sal Majorana from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. And also, of course, the publisher and writer and all things Pinstripe People newsletter on the Yankees, which right now is kind of taking a blowtorch to what the Yankees are or aren't doing. Good morning, Sal. Good to talk with you. I wish it was under better circumstances for the Yanks.
Yeah, that was one horrible week for the Yankees. Great one for the Blue Jays. Horrible one for the Yankees. Could sort of see it coming early in that series, Sal, that you could just tell the Blue Jays have really got it together. They've been playing good baseball for really about a month now. And it's all because of their offense. Their pitching really isn't all that impressive, but they've just been outscoring teams because their offense has been on fire. And you can tell, I mean, the Yankees have been sputtering before last week began when they went to Toronto, and it was easy to predict that Toronto would win probably 3 of the 4. They ended up getting all 4, and they haven't lost since. They've 8 in a row now, as it is for Toronto?
I think it's 9 after last night, yeah.
Yeah, 9
it's
after
crazy.
Last night. So, yeah, and the Yankees salvaged one game last week, the finale against the Mets. So a nice, lovely 1-6 week. It's unbelievable that they dropped basically 7 games in the standings between Toronto jumping up and the Yankees falling down in 1 week. That's pretty amazing.
It is. Let's stay on the Blue Jays a little bit. I mean, boy, George Springer is a Yankee killer, is he not? Holy cow. Oh. I went to a game last year, he had a couple of home runs, and he just torched them in this series. But this is a good player, a good hitter, obviously, but it's not just him. We just heard Addison Barger hit the home run. Bo Bichette, they did it without him for a little while. And, of course, there's Vlad Guerrero, who's not having the best year, but he's starting to heat up a little bit.
Yeah, that was the crazy thing about that series. You know, Sal, was that Guerrero really didn't do anything to hurt the Yankees. I think he might have had one home run in the series. I'm not even sure, but he was not really a factor, which he usually is against the Yankees. He's another one who's killed them through the years. Bo Bichette missed the first 3 games. I think he pinch hit in the last game. I don't even think he started the last game. He just happened to come in as a pinch hitter. So it wasn't the guys that they usually have had trouble stopping. Those two, of course, right at the top of the list. It was Springer, who just had, a series among all series. It was incredible to watch. And, we go back with him a long way, Sal, because he was part of that Astros team that had the Yankees number for all those years. So there is some legitimate hate built up for George Springer through the years, and he just killed him. And he's been having a great year. He hadn't really, I don't think, they signed him a few years ago, and he's been an okay player for them the first 2 years, but this year he really has found it, and he was great. And then this Barger kid, I never even heard of him until last week, and all of a sudden he's hitting balls all over the field. So, yeah, it was an impressive performance by the Blue Jays.
No doubt about it. Sal Majorana joining me here on the West Her Hotline. And the Yankees, of course, then they go from Toronto to back to New York, but this time to take on the Mets at Citi Field. And, boy, that was a disastrous first couple of days before they finally, as you said, salvaged that last game. But, boy, going to New York to play a Mets team that had been struggling, and I guess the best fix is to play the New York Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, Sal, that was a ridiculous series for the Yankees. The Mets had lost. They had gone through a 3-13. Everyone talked about the Pirates series last week. And then, they did get it back on track. They beat Milwaukee twice in the middle of the week, so they were starting to turn it around. But that Yankees series, Sal, there was just no excuse for the Yankees not to win at least 2 of those games. The Mets were starting some kid named Justin Hageman on Friday. I think he's a rookie. Frankie Montas started Saturday. I mean, this guy is a complete stiff. And then they went with an opener on Sunday, and the Yankees win that game, but barely. They had to hang on at the end to win it. There was no excuse for the Yankees to be outpitched. They had Rodon and Fried pitching in that series. I mean, Stroman, I didn't know what to expect, and he actually was okay. But you can't lose a Carlos Rodon against Frankie Montas game. And Max Fried, as great as he's been this year, he wasn't exactly great Sunday. He only got through 5 innings. He had the lead when he left. And the bullpen, which has been horrible, somehow found a way to get 12 outs. But That was a bad series. I don't care that they won the last game. That was a series they needed to win at least two of the three games.
Sal Majerana here. Pinstripe People is the Yankees newsletter. And, of course, Clark Schmidt. Boy, how do the Yankees recover from losing yet another pitcher who is obviously going to be gone for the rest of the year?
Yeah, it's brutal. I mean, look, every team has injuries, especially to the pitcher. So I'm not going to – no one's going to give the Yankees, you know, any tissues here for that situation. But Clark Schmidt, it's really frustrating, Sal, because, as you know, he has just battled injuries his entire career. But when he's healthy, he's been really good. I mean, he has been especially the last couple years, he has been a really good, reliable pitcher for them. And he was off to a great start. He missed a little bit of time early. And then once he got back and into the groove this year, he's been pitching. I think he had a sub-3 ERA. Of course, he had the game a few weeks ago. He threw 7 no-hit innings. He's just been a really reliable, middle-of-the-rotation guy, and now he's gone. So they basically have Fried and Rodon and 3 huge question marks every time they're in those games. They're going to bring up this kid named Cam Schlittler from AAA, who has been impressive, and the Yankees think he's got a great future, and he's going to get his chance now. And they really need him to come through, because Will Warren is in this rotation. Marcus Stroman is in their rotation. I mean, it's a problem. So they need Schlittler to come up and be the guy the Yankees believe he can be.
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on around the rest of the league. And, of course, you have the Yankees and their situation. Now they're going to be taking on the Mariners and Cal Raleigh. Where's Cal Raleigh come from here? This is a guy that now I'm like, he's just mashing the baseball. He's leading the American League in home runs, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, he's been a very good player for several years. But this power surge, I think, has caught everybody's by surprise, especially from a catcher. I mean, you just don't see catchers hitting whatever he's got, 36, 37 so far. That's incredible before the All-Star break. So, yeah, he has been a great player for them. Now, the rest of their team, Sal, I mean, as usual, Seattle just kind of middles along, you know, and they've let the Astros take complete control of the AL West, which, of course, is not great news for Yankee fans either. The rest of their lineup is, I mean, they've got some good players. Crawford's a good shortstop, a really good leadoff hitter. Julio Rodriguez, everyone talks about this guy being a superstar. He has been anything but a superstar. I think he's one of the most overrated players in baseball, and he got an all-star berth when he really shouldn't have. So he hasn't really done too much for them. Where they've got it, Sal, is their pitching. I mean, they have a really good pitching staff. They just threw 3 straight shutouts over the weekend. Granted, it was the Pirates, but it was the same Pirates who scored 30 runs in 3 games against the Mets. So there was something to say there. Yankees are going to face 3 of their best pitchers in this series. So it's going to be a tough 3 days for this Yankees offense against Seattle.
Did I read right? Did Juan Soto not make the All-Star game?
Yeah. I mean, he did not make it so far. I mean, he'll probably get in. But he did not make the All-Star team. That was a little bit surprising. He's been good the last month. I mean, I think I read somewhere, Sal, in June, he had the second highest month's OPS in Mets history. That's pretty amazing. I mean, and he kind of did it quietly, it felt like, because he started so poorly. But he really has been on a tear. Then against the Yankees, he hit the home run in the first game. Didn't really do much of anything else, though. So he didn't make the All-Star team. I think he'll probably find a way to get in there once, you know, there's going to be 10 guys that are probably going to drop out. So I think he'll be there eventually.
What do you make of the Nationals firing Dave Martinez and general manager Mike Rizzo?
Yeah, I mean, kind of overdue, right, Sal? I mean, since they won the World Series, they've been one of the worst teams. In fact, they've been the second worst team in baseball. I think they have the second most losses in the sport after they won the World Series. So there's been a lot of disappointment there. And, you know, we're kind of familiar with the Nationals here in Rochester because we're the AAA affiliate. And I see a lot of these guys come through Rochester on their way to Washington. And this is just not a great farm system, especially pitching. They've had a couple position guys that have gone up. Obviously, James Wood made the All-Star team, really good player. They've had a few guys come through here that are pretty good players. But their pitching, their development of pitching has been terrible for years. We're seeing it now. The only guys who pitch well for them are guys they get in trades, like Mackenzie Gore. So, yeah, I mean, it was probably long overdue. It was funny how Rizzo took the shot at the Lerner family on his way out. And I do know there's something to that. That's a very, very poor ownership group. They've really made it difficult for the manager and the general manager there. So, yeah, I wasn't surprised at it. I was surprised by the timing of it with the Major League Draft coming up here in a week. It was a little surprising, but, yeah, probably long overdue.
And then I know you follow the Cubs a little bit in the National League, and they're pretty hot, too. They've won 7 of their last 10, now playing .600 baseball. That looks like a team that might be poised to make a little run here in the second half.
Yeah, Cubs have been really nice, a nice surprise this year. Their offense is one of the best in baseball. They're killing the ball.
Yeah.
Seiya Suzuki's got 77 RBIs, actually. Kyle Tucker's great.
Sal, have you seen their differential, their run differential? Have you looked at their run differential? I'm looking at it right now. It's plus 126.
Yeah, 126. Yeah, they're playing. Their offense has just been great, Sal. They're pitching, you know, they're going to have some problems with their pitching. They lost Justin Steele, who's one of their best pitchers for the year. A couple other guys, Jameson Taillon's now on the IL. So they've got some holes that they're going to have to address at the deadline. And Jed Hoyer, who's their, you know, president of baseball ops, he has said that they are going to spend money, which has been a thing with the Cubs. The Cubs have been a little bit of a tight budget team for a big market team, and it's frustrated Cubs fans for a long time. But he claims that they recognize an opportunity here, and they're going to try to go out and get some guys. So I hope they do. I hope they do it after they play the Yankees this weekend, because that's going to be a tough series for the Yankees, one that I always dread, Sal, when the Yankees play the Cubs, because I do like the Cubs. They're my National League team, but, you know, the Yankees are still – they're still 1A. Yankees are 1A, and the Cubs are 1B for me.
All right, so I'm headed to Italy tomorrow. I'll be there for 10 days. You're going to – next week I'll get Derek and Zach on with you. Have you been to Italy before, Sal?
I have not. Matter of fact, my niece is there right now on her honeymoon. They went to Greece, and they went to Italy. So my family has gone a couple times. I have not had the occasion to go. My wife keeps telling me that we have to at some point. So
yes, you do.
You know, I'm gonna have to find a way to do that here at some point. Once I retire, Sal.
Yeah, I think you should. Anyway, when I get back, it's only a couple days before training camp, and that's when we'll see each other again. July 23rd, the Bills open training camp right there at St. John Fisher University in Rochester. Sal, of course, will be covering Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Is James Cook still the number one storyline for you headed to camp?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was lessened because he showed up for the mandatory minicamp. So I think that set the precedent. He's going to be there. I think he realizes, go out, have a great year, make them, you know, give you a contract extension. And if they don't, you go to free agency. So I think that'll be his mindset. That's the only mindset he could truly have, Sal. He doesn't have an option. So show up, play, and prove to them who you are. And then maybe it'll be good enough to get Brandon Bean to give him an extension. So it's a storyline, but if he hadn't showed up last year in June, then it would have been a bigger storyline. But that kind of got diffused a little bit when he came in.
I agree with you. I think that as far as positions are concerned, probably cornerback number two opposite Christian Benford feels like the only spot that's really kind of up in the air. How do you view it going into camp?
Yeah, I was telling somebody when minicamp wrapped, you know, Tre'Davious White was getting a lot of run, and I have a feeling, Sal, that they're gonna stick with comfortability early in the season, and Trey White, I think, will get every chance to win that job, and kind of keep the seat warm for Harrison. Now, if Harrison plays really good in camp and does well in the games, then he should be the starter. There's no doubt about it. But you know how McDermott operates. He trusts his veterans. He probably trusts no one, you know, more than Trey White, his initial draft pick. So it would be a surprise to me if Trey White's not the starter opening day, with the caveat that Max Harrison, you know, could get that job within, you know, the first half of the season if he plays well. That's kind of what I'm expecting to have happen.
Yeah, and on the offensive side, it feels like it's Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid. Kind of the, you know, what really is there other than James Cook's obvious contract situation? But, Sal, I mean, there's been nothing, no changes really in the offense. I know that Elijah Moore and Josh Palmer, and I guess that would be the only two changes. But other than that, this is just a kind of a machine that's just going to roll forward with. But it feels like those two guys, that's where everybody's focused on. You need more from at least one, if not both.
Absolutely. Those guys have a spotlight on them, more so Kincaid. I mean, Kincaid's his third year now. He needs to have a great year and, you know, get that fifth-year option exercise next spring. But that's a first-round pick, and they need to have him play like a first-round pick, and that was not the case last year. I understand he was injured, and I'll give him a pass for that. But this year he's coming in healthy. Looks like he has a rejuvenated attitude. At least that's what it looked like in the spring sessions. He needs to be really good. He needs to be the guy they thought he was going to be. Keon Coleman, yeah, he needs to get open, Sal, right? That was the issue. He just did not have much success getting open against NFL defensive backs. So that has to improve. And you mentioned Palmer and Moore. I really like those two additions. I think, you know, everyone talks about that everybody eats mantra, and it gets a little bit tired sometimes. But, I mean, those two guys fit that to a T. They really do come in here with a couple of different skill sets. And I think as a whole, I like the Bills' wide receiver group. I think they got a lot of guys who do different things. And when you've got Josh Allen as the trigger man, he can really take advantage of a lot of those skill sets.
The Yankees newsletter is called Pinstripe People. It is absolutely free. You can find it on the top of Sal's Twitter feed / X feed at Sal Marana. Now is a great time to sign up for it. It's always a great read, whether the Yankees are playing poorly or doing really well. You got a lot of stuff in there. It's not just about current Yankees baseball, but past Yankees baseball as well. Sal Marana on the Wester Hotline. All right, buddy. Next time I see you, we'll be in Rochester. We'll have Derek and Zach get in touch with you next week, and hopefully better times for the Yankees as they head to the All-Star break.
All right. Hey, you have a good trip. Enjoy yourself over there in the motherland, and we'll see you at training camp.
You got it. Sal Marana right there on the Wester Hotline on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll be, take a timeout here. We'll come back very quickly, and then Brian Colzio is going to join me right around the top of the hour. We'll talk Sabres, of course, with Brian, but, of course, Porter Cup and what's happening out here at Niagara Falls Country Club. He's always out here year after year. Taking part of this event, Media Day, and everything goes into that. But we'll talk Bills, Sabres, and everything else on the docket next with Brian Colzio at 11 a.m. after this quick timeout, and then back here for a quick segment on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. All right, back here. We are at Niagara Falls Country Club. The Porter Cup comes your way next week. We're going to have Brian Colzio come your way here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to be talking about the Porter Cup, but also the Sabres. What's going to happen with Bo Byram? Brian's been on the Sabres broadcast for quite a while, obviously. And he's seen it all from some of the good to some of the poor. And right now, obviously, still 14 years. So we're going to get his thoughts on everything going on with the Sabres, the Porter Cup, and golf coming up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. Stick with me.